104.5 The Zone. Saturday morning sports talk continues with insight and analysis from some of the industry's best. This is Forkless Systems Sports Saturday on 104.5 The Zone. Now, your host, former Tennessee coordinator, Doug Matthews.
It is semifinal Saturday for the Southeastern Conference Basketball Tournament. Of course, it's hosted right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Good morning. Welcome in. This is Forkless Systems Sports Saturday. We are doing a show today down here in the Hillsborough Village Double Dogs location. It's our second trip here. Been here a couple of times. Stop by and see us 10 o'clock if you're looking for a great place to come watch the games. Tickets are high. We'll be talking about that with Bill Justice a little bit later, and it has been a great week in Nashville, Tennessee. Spring practice underway at most programs. Our man Tony Barnhart will join us here in just a second. We'll be doing a little update with him. Tony will be on with us till the top of the hour. Charles Davis will be on with us one segment at the in the 10 o'clock hour. And then Bill Justice, we'll have Billy the Legend on with us for three segments of the second hour, talking about the first 3 days and the previous games that have been played in the Southeastern Conference Tournament. Down at Bridgestone Arena, and needless to say, the downtown Broadway area it's been packed. I've been down there a couple of different times, a lot of people. Almost, I think I saw someone from every single program in the Southeastern Conference, and some others down there also. So, again, we'll be talking a lot about that today. As for Charles Davis, well, he's back. He's going to be on with us in the second hour also. Today's semifinal games, the four winners from yesterday, Florida, Auburn, they play at noon. We're talking Central Time here in Nashville. Tennessee, Kentucky, round three at round 2:30. Tough tickets for today's game, and it's been a very, very good week, as I mentioned, in downtown Nashville and the whole area for that matter. By the way, Double Dogs, a lot of you folks are in from other areas. Double Dogs has locations in Louisville, Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, Bowling Green, Kentucky, and, of course, up in Knoxville, as well as right here in the Hillsborough Village where we are, and Charlotte Pike on the other side of town. 30-plus TVs at every location. Again, a great opportunity to see what's going on down at the tournament, as well as other ball games. There were some big ball games last night. We'll be discussing those a little bit later today. I believe Tony Barnhart's hooked up with us. Again, when I'm not in studio, sometimes our producer, Ryan Albanese, and Kirby the Kirby. I say that three times because he's a little hard hearing, get a little older these days. Anyway, Tony, you with us?
I am indeed, Doug.
Well, I know you are have been watching a lot of games. We're going to get into some football talk here a little bit later. I want to start with the Southeastern Conference Tournament, though, get one thing out of the way real quick because people have been wondering and asking and talking about this. The LSU situation, your comment to me was kind of saved the SEC an awkward situation by Florida beating them yesterday. Let's just talk a little bit about where we are in the Will Wade situation. Not going to talk a whole lot about it, folks, because, frankly, I don't know a whole lot about it. I don't know that there is a lot about it to talk about right now, except just kind of around the fringes. But, Tony, let's talk about why LSU did what they did, the administration. And I think the more that comes out, we're finding out that it indeed was the administration of LSU, wasn't the athletic director, athletic department. And then also why Coach Wade did what he was doing. You kind of take it from there. You've done some reporting on this. Just kind of give us the Cliff Notes version.
Well, you're dealing with a couple of different things. Obviously, the reporting came out about a week ago of Will Wade being on the conversation. Now, this was an FBI wiretap. It carries a little bit of weight to it. Based on that, when they're talking about making deals for players and things of that, based on that, LSU looked at their situation and realized until they got it cleared up, they could not let Will Wade coach the basketball team. And this is all basic one textbook 101 stuff in the NCAA. If you believe your coach, is it possible your coach has committed a violation? Yes, it's possible. Then you've got to sit him down and not coach and do your investigation to either reinstate him or to keep him out. when they came time to do that investigation, Will Wade and his attorney says, well, actually, we're not going to talk to you about this. And we're not, we don't want to talk about this until the trial, the federal trial is over. And LSU said, that's your choice, but you can't coach until you do. And that's kind of where we are. I mean, Will Wade came out yesterday with his attorneys and said, we don't think this is fair. You don't have any evidence against us. You got to let us, you need to let us coach again, which I thought was fairly laughable. And so Will Wade's not coaching. Now, Javonte Smart, the player in question, he did cooperate with the university. They did do their investigation. They determined there was no evidence to this point to hold him out of another game. Remember, he didn't play the last game of the regular season. And so he played in the SEC tournament, and obviously LSU got eliminated yesterday. And then, but that's where it stands. Nothing is going to happen on Will Wade's end until Will Wade sits down with the university lawyers and, by the way, the NCAA. He is not going to get reinstated before that happens.
Tony, let's kind of dig into this just a little bit because I want folks to understand this part of it. It really, if you look at both sides, if you look at Coach Wade and his lawyers and the people that is working with him, you look at the LSU administration and the NCAA, they're both, I think you could say, correct on this. The administration at LSU is doing what they have to do to protect the university from the NCAA. And again, if you knowingly or don't, I guess a better way to put it was, if you don't know for sure that there hasn't been anything done NCAA violation-wise, if you don't know that for sure, then you cannot allow a coach or a player to be out there. Now, if you know that there is or know that there isn't, that settles the situation. On the other side, Coach Wade's position is right now, and his attorneys, which is completely understandable. This with an FBI, a federal investigation going on, this suddenly becomes more than just an NCAA investigation. Primary reason, if he meets with the university and with the NCAA, anything that is said in that meeting can be subpoenaed by the and received by the FBI. So,
correct.
Fair to say that both sides are doing what they need to do.
Exactly. If I was Will Wade's lawyer, I would be telling him the exact same thing. But I would also tell my client, Will Wade, this is the correct position you can take, but if you take, you're protecting yourself, but you're not going to get to coach again. Okay, you have to understand that and accept that. By the same token, the university's job, Doug, and you know this from being in intercollegiate athletics for all those years, the university's number one job is to take care of the university. Always is. And that's what they're doing now to protect the university.
One thing on that, too, that I know some LSU fans or some supporters, a few at least, this is not an athletic director's call.
No.
This is the administration. I don't know if they have a president or a chancellor down there, but this is way above the athletic director. He has no say in this at all. This is LSU, the administration. And, again, both sides are right on this. Now, I will point out this. Let's back just a little bit when this kind of all started. There was some question about what was going on down at Auburn. If folks will remember, the head basketball coach down there, Bruce Pearl, made a decision not to talk to the university about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thinking back, that I don't think that they wanted to bring the NCAA in on that. They might have. But anyway, Auburn was okay with that, probably because they had some information. Now, we don't know exactly what's happening everywhere, Tony, but we saw where Chuck Persons yesterday has agreed to plead guilty for his role in this. And I bring that up just to say this, the coaches are doing what they as individuals believe they need to do for their best interest, and the university is. So I don't see this as being, it's kind of awkward for both, but again, they're both doing what they should be doing and what they're being told by their lawyers and their legal counsel. Give me a final thought on that, and then we'll move on to some basketball and some football.
This won't be resolved for sure until we get to the end of the federal trial, because really the NCAA is not going to do a whole lot with this stuff until the federal trial is over. Once the federal trial is over, then the NCAA will say, okay, this is what happened. We need to, now we need to start an investigation to see how many or were there NCAA rules involved, violated here. We're a long way for this thing being resolved.
One other issue out there that I wanted to just kind of talk about from a sports and athletic perspective, we've seen what's going on with the cheating scandal and the people paying to be coaches to be recruited and to get scholarships. Tony, everything I'm reading on that, when they say sports, really you're talking about a couple of what I would call very, very, very minor sports. We're not looking at anything on this as far as any of the major sports in any university, are we?
No, because you can't fake it. Understand that this scandal involving, I think it involved like 700 families. You were essentially burying students on a roster where nobody was really paying attention, because you can't fake being a college football player. You can't fake being a college basketball player, because everybody knows who they are. And so, no, we are looking at the Olympic sports and minor sports.
Well, I would tell you, you're right on that. Although I coached a few who were faking being college football players, but that's a show for a different show. Some might say that when I played, I was faking being a college football player. But anyway, all right, let's get a little basketball. Florida, Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky today. Tony's not deep into college basketball, NCAA basketball, SEC basketball, but he certainly follows it some. First off, Tony, Nashville, as you can imagine, I've been, folks, if you haven't been to Nashville in a while, I go back when I came here 50 years ago to go to school here and play football at Vanderbilt. Everything has changed in 50 years, but the downtown area, you talk to the merchants down there now and the people who are all around, you know, with the NFL draft is coming in a few weeks, the SEC tournament's there, so many more things happening there. But from an SEC perspective, what a perfect place to have this. I can't believe. I'm a big backer in having the football championship game in Atlanta for obvious reasons. There can't be anywhere any close in the Southeastern Conference area of a city that can handle this SEC tournament the way that Nashville can, simply because of the location. As you know, we've talked about this before off air, maybe a little bit on air. You know, Bridgestone Arena is right downtown. You can literally walk to, good gosh, I don't know, 50 restaurants, maybe more, probably 15 or 20 hotels are near. You don't have to get in a car and go anywhere. They block off the area and for big events. It's you've been here for some of those, and it's an excellent, excellent site to have this tournament.
Doug, I've been to every location that where the SEC tournament has been held since I got back to Atlanta in 1984, 33, 34, 35 years. And for all, you know, with all due respect for my friends in Atlanta, and they do a good job hosting, Nashville is the best setting I've ever seen for the SEC basketball tournament, for exactly what you just said. You know, it's about basketball, but it's a social event. And people want to go out to restaurants, and they want to go listen to some music, and they want to go to the shops, and they want to do all these things. And it's great the way the tournament is set up, you know, particularly on the 2 days where you got four games. You can go there early. Maybe your team's in the night session, and you can go hang out and do so much. And then between sessions, you can duck out of the building and you go do some things. So it is a great, great, great venue.
Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame right there in Bridgestone. A lot of great things going on there. Of course, we'll have another inductee class of 2019 inductee class we'll be talking about in future shows. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to get into some football with Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. So stay right here with us. We got a full jam-packed show. Again, we're down here at Double Dogs in Hillsboro Village. I'll talk to you as we go to break about Delta Dental. You know, a great smile makes a great impression. We all know that. But what's going on behind that smile is much, much more important than that smile. Because why? Well, by simple dental exam, Delta Dental has found this, working with their dentists and other folks. You can detect up to 120 signs and symptoms of diseases. Think about that. A simple dental exam going in just once a year, or twice a year, if with most Delta Dental plans, you get that's covered all of that. You can find out about other things that are going on in your body. Symptoms of diseases such as diabetes, heart disease, just from a routine dental exam. CoverYourMouth.com, that's the website. If you're looking for an individual plan, if you don't have it at work, if you don't have any dental insurance, CoverYourMouth.com. Delta Dental has a myriad of plans that can help you. I found one that was right for me and my wife. You can find one that's right for you and your family, however large it is, at coveryourmouth.com.
In Middle Tennessee, you're never too far away from Wilson Bank and Trust. As our neighbor, you're the inspiration behind our mission to offer financial services of every kind in a friendly hometown atmosphere. Whatever your banking or financing needs, we're here to make you feel right at home. We're Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank, and we look forward to getting to know you better soon at any of our 28 full-service offices. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Stover's liquidation with the best hardwood deal ever. Shaw Golden Opportunity Oak Hardwood, first quality, 20-year warranty, seven great colors, three-quarter by two and a quarter, just $249 a square foot, and three-quarter by three and a quarter wide, just $259 a square foot. The same product sells for over $4 at the big box. Nobody stocks more plank-look porcelain tile than Stover's Liquidation in Antioch, Cookeville, or Knoxville, or online at stoversliquidation.com. Check out our Facebook and Instagram only specials, Stover's.
Mid-South Business Furnishers' move to 1830 Air Lane Drive, Suite 13 is complete. Come by and see them for some great excess inventory deals. Also, their quick full-line office supply and furniture products can be purchased online at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com. 43 years now of design, furniture, and office sales, that assures you of complete satisfaction. Stop by 1830 Air Lane Drive, Suite 13, or go online at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy furniture galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
Hey, this is Larry Thorne with Global Motorsports. Here in Nashville, folks know that we have been providing late model import automobiles for over 25 years, and the one thing everyone wants to know is where to have their car serviced. We now have a service facility that we're excited to be opening in downtown Franklin at the corner of Hillsborough Road and Highway 96, where we'll be able to provide maintenance all the way up to engine and transmission repair, and our auto spa can take care of detailing and any cosmetic repairs. Find us at Bell Mead, Cool Springs, and now Franklin, and at globalmotorsportsinc.com.
Now, Forkless System Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Stroud's location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Charles Davis will join us at the top of the next hour. Billy the Legend Justice will be with us the last three segments talking LSEC basketball. A few other big games also, if you watched any of it. Last night and yesterday, nothing like tournament basketball. I've never played the game other than a little bit in high school. Love watching it. And tournament basketball, absolutely phenomenal. And looks like we're going to have 8, 10, 12 teams that could probably any win the national tournament this year. So we'll be talking about that with Bill again 15 minutes into the second hour. Tony, let's clean up just a few little things here. Your old buddy, our old buddy, everybody's old buddy, except maybe a few folks in Knoxville and a few folks in East Lansing because of the locations he's been. Urban Meyer, I see, joining the Fox Game Day next year. It's going to be a new show, I guess, right?
Yeah, a new show to compete with College Game Day. And they're going to have, along with Urban Meyer, Brady Quinn, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart. It'll be interesting. Urban's done, he did some work, before he took the, Ohio State job. I remember him doing some work with,
he's on ESPN, I think.
He was on ESPN with Nick Saban. I think they shared some time. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
For what it's worth, I wasn't tremendously impressed with him, but it was a fill-in job for him. I did notice this is one thing. Brady Quinn, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart. A little theme there, maybe. Notre Dame quarterbacks, two of them, and USC. A little talk about USC. I've heard some whispers, and they've been whispers, but you can kind of see this. Would you be surprised if Urban Meyer ended up out in Los Angeles maybe in a year?
Not, I would not be surprised in the least. My belief, and I think you and I talked about this, is that while Urban Meyer was talking about health issues, and I don't doubt him about that, I think Urban Meyer felt that he was not supported enough by the administration at Ohio State, and I think that fed into the reasons that he left, along with the health issues.
I don't think there's any question that he didn't believe that. Now, I'm not saying that he wasn't, but right. You could tell even the last few interviews that he did. I mean, it was pretty evident that his thinking there on that. All this will be determined. There is no doubt, though, Tony, that Coach Meyer, he does have some health issues. Now, exactly how bad are those? I will tell you this from almost every football coach I've ever known. You lay out a year and, you know, all of a sudden those health issues aren't quite as bad as you maybe thought they were. It's tough for these guys. It's tough for lifetime coaches. And it's not about the money, although that's at his level, that's extremely huge. It's about they love to coach. And he is, in my opinion, the last 25, 30 years, the second best coach that I've watched coach on the sideline. So we'll keep an eye on that, predicated on health, but healthy. He's going to coach some. What is he? 57, 58, I think.
Right. He's in those mid-50s, and I would like to see him coach again. Cause I think.
Well, and the other guy, listen, that I think you got to keep your eye on, Bob Stoops going, and he'll be coaching next year in the XFL. Now, that's not anything like college football because of the recruiting and all that, but there's a couple of high-quality coaches, and what we are seeing is there ain't many of them out there, folks.
Nope.
There ain't many top coaches. There's some that are becoming that. There's some that are we don't know about that will become that. But you're kind of rolling the dice on that. Billy Kennedy fired at A&M. Not a surprise there. Your thoughts are maybe Buzz Williams. And folks, if you don't know who Buzz Williams is, Google it. I call him Dancing Buzz Williams from Virginia Tech. He's also a kung fu fighter, I think. He's had a little of that in him. If you watch him, again, kind of some of his antics. I'll say this. My advice for any coaches that I know is don't dance. Don't dance in the locker room because you really make a fool out of yourself. Normally, the athletes that you're with. No. Normally, I know why they're trying to do it, but normally the athletes that you're with are much better dancers on that. So, anyway, let's get into a little spring football. I know you have already started writing. You will be doing your spring tour. Let's kind of bring us up to date. I know you've visited with Auburn for sure and Georgia. Kind of bring us up to date on what you've done so far.
Well, yeah, I visited those two schools. I am down to do. I'm going back to Athens for Pro Day this week. That should be a pretty interesting day. With they got four juniors and a bunch of really good players there. Then head off to Kentucky to do Kentucky's Pro Day. Of course, they're going to be saying goodbye to Josh Allen and Benny Snell, and you know, a team that won 10 games. I think they had eight guys invited to the combine. So I'll be going there, and then the following week I'm scheduled to be at Ole Miss, and I'm starting to fill in some dates now. I have to get my assignments from our friends at the SEC Network, and then I can start plugging in the dates of the other places I want to go.
Kentucky got absolutely hammered by graduation and guys leaving early. I mean, they had a great year last year, but boy, they lost. And you're right. I was watching the combine that I watched. It seemed like every other player that came up was either a Kentucky player. Mississippi State had a bunch of them in there too. So that's kind of something to keep your eye on there. Two schools, who are the two top programs the last couple of years in the Southeastern Conference? Georgia, Alabama, all of them, all the good programs. Once you get established, you're losing juniors. But both have something else in common, Tony. They both lost both of their coordinators, offense and defensive coordinators. These are good programs. These are top jobs. You can attract good folks. But I can tell you this, when you lose coordinators that have been with you a while, that know your system, it's tough. And I think on the defensive side, both Kirby Smart and, of course, Nick Saban, defensive coaches. They certainly can, if need be, go over and coach in that area. Both do, as a matter of fact. Offensively, though, not so much. So there's some question mark, I think, in both those programs. Alabama has shown that they can do it, but they lost, what, 6 or 7 assistant coaches of their 10 this year. And Georgia lost a good number also.
Yeah, there was, Alabama, of course, went outside the organization, hired Steve Sarkisian, an old face there, who's familiar.
He had been there though as an analyst 1 year.
That is correct. And then spent a year with the Atlanta Falcons. So how is that going to work out? What is he going to do with Tua Tagovailoa? That's what we want to see. Within at Georgia, they promoted a guy James Coley from within. He was basically the quarterback's coach to replace Jim Chaney. And so they feel pretty good, and you know it always feels good when you got a veteran quarterback coming back. But it's going to be interesting to watch because this is the first wave of coaches that Kirby Smart has lost. Doug, you know, Nick Saban's had to deal with this a lot. This will be Kirby's first time, but just having been to Athens and talked to people, they feel pretty good about where the staff is.
One thing I noticed Coach Saban went out of his way to really compliment Steve Sarkisian. I think some of that was because there was a perception out there that when he left after the national championship game a couple of years ago, went to Atlanta, there was a perception out there, I think, by some that maybe he was asked to leave or encouraged to leave. Obviously, that wasn't true, and I believe that's why Coach Saban came out and kind of made that statement. He normally doesn't talk in glowing terms about any of his assistant coaches. He talks about them as a group. So that was that kind of caught my eye and caught my ear that he did that. All right, let's see a little bit late to break. We're going to come back. We're going to start with the SEC West and kind of take a look at where the West is going to be. I believe even stronger next year than it has been, especially at the top. We'll talk about that with Tony when we come back. There's so many things going on out there in the world, lots of places to go, lots of ways to spend your free time and money. But if you're looking for a great place just to go and have fun with family and friends, that really can encompass ages. If you're big enough to walk, or if you're still walking, no matter how old you are, Strike and Spare Family Fun Entertainment. Bowling, it's one of the great sports that you can do really almost an entire lifetime. Larry Smitto's put together an outstanding company, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. They have 5 locations here in Middle Tennessee, the Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Bowling, games, food, drink, entertainment for all. If you're looking for a place to get together with friends or family or buddies or maybe a reunion of a team or a class, fundraising event, corporate parties, anything like that, this is the place to check out at strikeandspare.com. All their locations are open 7 days a week. That includes holidays. And as they love to say and have proved over and over again, there's never a bad time or a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com. MANDUU.com.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Now, Forklift System Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Stroud's location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Charles Davis joins us at the top of the hour. He's been out the last couple of weeks, certainly had duties with the Combine and the NFL Network. He'll join us at the top of the hour. Bill Justice will be the last three segments of the show. Of course, we'll be talking about, well, about college basketball, a lot of the Southeastern Conference Tournament, and some of the things that are going on around the country in NCAA basketball. Right now, though, we got another couple of segments with Tony Barnhart. We're going to look at where spring practice is. Tony, I don't have the dates in front of me here. I think almost, well over half of the schools have started. There's a couple, I think, that start a little bit later in March. Let's start with the SEC West, though. Here's the way I see this going in before spring practice. We know where Alabama's going to be. Are they going to have to rebuild? Yep. They've been rebuilding, it seems like, since I was a kid. But they were 14-1 last year. We talked about the coordinators there. We'll discuss them in just a second. Auburn still going to be strong, especially on the defensive side. Had a little dip, not up to what I know Coach Malzahn expected last year. Auburn didn't play probably as well as they should have played, or at least could have played. LSU getting better. And then Texas A&M, those four for sure. Mississippi State lost a lot of players, but they had a very good football team. Ole Miss, I think, could be a little bit better this year. Two new coordinators there also. Arkansas still trying to get better, but Tony, I think if you looked at the league as a whole, they probably overperformed what most people thought they were going to be coming in. Still not a real good football team, but that's kind of what the West looks like. Let's start with this. I want to talk about LSU because, folks, if you've been listening to this show almost since we've been on the air, it's LSU's always had the same problem. Can we get anything done offensively? And it's right. Not for a lack of players. You just look at the receivers in particular and running backs in the NFL from LSU, linemen also. You wonder how in the world they have been a very average offense for most years. That maybe is the big reason why Joe Brady was brought in from the Saints. Talk a little bit about him and the importance for him for Ed Orgeron's LSU team.
Well, everybody knows what the Saints have done offensively for the longest of time. And basically what Ed Orgeron wanted, he's finally conceding that the RPO has got to be a part of their offense. Well, you need to bring somebody in who's familiar with the RPO. Drew Brees runs that offense as well as anybody. So with Joe Burrow coming in, they feel like they're finally stable at the quarterback position. And like you said, they've always got running backs and wide receivers. They're never short in that area. So they think they're going to make a big step forward offensively. But to me, that is the story of spring ball, is the installation of this offense.
This part of the country, down in the southeast, LSU probably the last of the holdouts of predominantly I formation, run the football, punt it, play good defense, get what you can get out of your quarterback. That's changed now, and if you look, everybody has. Alabama used to be like that, they've changed. Georgia used to be like that, they changed. Tennessee used to be like that, they've changed. Still going to have some elements. Still have to have a strong running game. But if you're going to win the conference here, if you're going to win the championship, if you're going to be in the mix, got to be able to throw the football. So that'll be something that's going to be interesting to watch there. I'm going to save Alabama here for last. Let's talk A&M, though. You know I've talked with you a bunch about this. Talking to when I was out in Oklahoma a few weeks ago, and I mentioned this several times to folks, the three teams out there, when I was a boy, young boy, many, many years ago, and as I grew up through coaching, it's always when things are going right. It's always been A&M, Texas, and Oklahoma. Different conferences now, A&M is, but it's still the same. And what Jimbo Fisher has brought there, Tony, listen, everybody out there is well aware, and I'm talking about coaches are well aware of where A&M is and where they're headed right now. I'm going to be really anxious to see how much improved they are from year one to year two under Jimbo.
That's the team that everybody's watching. You kind of know what you're getting in Alabama and Auburn and LSU. But, you know, Texas A&M, Doug, and you know this, has always been the sleeping giant. In other words, they took advantage of all the things they've got going for them, money, recruiting, now playing in the SEC, which is a big deal, by the way. They were going to be a challenger sooner rather than later. So I think they showed that last year. And so I'm like you. You know, we have a lot of examples of coaches in the second year. They really make a big, big step forward. I'm anxious to see if Texas A&M can be one of those teams.
Mississippi State also in the second year and lost a quality quarterback. Not Nick Fister, probably wouldn't light it up throwing the ball, but a tremendous leader, run the ball. They lost Sweat. They lost Simmons. They lost, as I mentioned, the combine. I saw where you had eight guys invited to the combine. New quarterback change there. But I think also Joe Moorhead, we probably didn't see, we didn't see the type of offense that he wants to run or that he has run in the past simply because he built around Nick Fitzgerald. We're going to find out a little bit more about what he wants to do at Mississippi State this year.
Yeah, well, Keaton Thompson was the Louisiana Gatorade High School Player of the Year, and he's spent the last two seasons as Fitzgerald's backup. Very much a mobile quarterback, can do a lot of things, can throw the ball better. You know, and I think he'll be a better player under Joe Moorhead. And they're going to need to be because Doug, you mentioned Montez Sweat, who just blew everybody away at the combine with his athletic ability. Jeffrey Simmons was not at the combine because he got hurt in drills leading up, but he is an NFL player. They lost a lot of really good football players.
I got to tell you, I watched a lot of the NFL combine this year. You know, we follow, or I follow Mississippi State because they're in the league, but because they didn't play Tennessee this year, and I didn't follow them quite that closely. And I got to tell you, I was really impressed with the athletic ability that the players at the combine, and I know they have more there that's like that. They've done a good job recruiting down there, and so Mississippi State, I think, will be in position. They got their defense back playing well again last year. Maybe the best defense in the Southeastern Conference, really, if you look at it overall. I don't always go by stats on that because stats can be inflated one way or the other in a big win or a big loss, but anyway, be Joe Moorhead. We're going to find out. Don't know much about him down this area. Going to find out a little bit more about him. Arkansas. I noticed. I was going to ask you this: has there been a program? We talked about Texas A&M, who has had more quarterbacks transfer out and become really good players at other places than Texas A&M. Nick Starkel going to Arkansas, and remember, 2 years ago, well, going into last year, a lot of people thought Starkel would be the starting quarterback for Jimbo Fisher.
I was one of them. Absolutely thought he was going to be the guy.
I wasn't going to mention that, but anyway, he is now at Arkansas. Also, a transfer from SMU. Of course, remember, Chad Morris was at SMU before he came to Arkansas. Arkansas still, though, has a long way to get out of a hole, don't they?
They do, and we're talking about talent. I mean, you haven't spent a lot of time in that part of the world. You know that when Arkansas has been good over the years, they've recruited the state of Texas extremely well. And and that's why Chad Morris was hired. 14 years as a high school coach in the state, Texas A&M grad. That's why Chad Morris is there to recruit the state of Texas. But it takes time. I think they're going to be better. They'll have to be better because they're going to get better play at quarterback. Okay, let's just say the quarterback play they got last year was spotty at best. I think they'll be significantly better at quarterback.
Well, and remember this too. They are switching over from a relatively, although the last couple of years they weren't running the ball quite the same as in the early years, but the recruits that they brought in were running game recruits, type game recruits. They're changing over from that. Going to take a year or so to do that. Ole Miss, don't know much about them. I do know that Rich Rodriguez is there. Mike McIntyre is there. Two extremely successful assistant coaches and at times head coaches. Matt Luke, this is his, what I guess technically his third year. Yeah. Because he was interim 1 year. What are you seeing from Ole Miss, or do you know much about them now?
Well, I'm going there in 2 weeks. I hope to sit down with all three of those coaches that you just mentioned. But I do know from previous conversations, Matt Luke's biggest concern, and it proved to be the case last year, offensively they were very good with Jordan Temu and all those receivers. They felt really good. They were horrible on defense, particularly against run defense. They just were absolutely dreadful. And Mike McIntyre was the National Coach of the Year just a couple of years ago at Colorado. The guy knows defense. And they have got to have any kind of a chance at all. You just can't be as bad as they've been running, trying to stop the run. So if they can shore up the defense just a little bit, they got a chance to be competitive.
Well, their off-the-field problems really set the stage and set the tempo for the last year or so, losing, sure, what, the five players a couple of years ago that almost assuredly would have been there. That also hurts recruiting, so it's going to take a while to catch up on that. We'll take another break and more with Tony Barnhart when we come back. I'll talk to you about Farm Bureau Health. 1947 started 70 years ago, Kirby. Kirby's sitting here. You look like you may need a little health insurance, as a matter of fact. I sound like Kaharski, don't I, getting on you on that. Anyway, Farm Bureau Health. Listen, if you're looking for health insurance, a few years ago I wanted to work with a Tennessee company if I could find one. Wanted to be local if I could. Well, I found both. Farm Bureau Health right down in Columbia, Tennessee. And what I found from them was this, that all Medicare supplement plans are exactly the same. I probably should have known that, but I didn't. The only difference in, well, like the F plan, but all of the supplement plans by Medicare, the only difference is two things. Number one, how much you pay. That's going to be decided by who you buy it from. And number two, the service you're going to receive. Those are the only two things. I've found the last couple of years with Farm Bureau been excellent in both those areas for me. All their claims are processed right down in Middle Tennessee, right down in Columbia. So if you're turning 65 or if you just want to see if you can reduce your monthly premiums, if you just want to check out a health insurance plan, go to their website, FB, as in Farm Bureau or football, fbhealthplans.com.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Powerstroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
Serious injury? Well, that's serious business, and no one takes it more seriously than Cody Allison and Associates. For nearly two decades, representing clients in truck accident, auto accident, and workers' compensation cases, returning clients' calls the same day or early the next day, keeping their clients informed, well, that's the Cody Allison way. Communication with clients about the status of their case? That's the Cody Allison way. Simply pick up the phone and call 615-234-6000. Also online at CodyAllison.com.
At Double Dogs, you may come for the game, but you'll stay for the food. Your favorite sports bar is also the perfect place for lunch, dinner, or post-game snack. Enjoy a Hebrew National Chili Dog, barbecue bacon cheeseburger, crispy homemade onion rings, dog bowl nachos, and much, much more. Double Dogs has something for everyone, including the kids. So whether you're coming for 9 innings, 4 quarters, or 3 periods, bring your appetite. Sit, stay, eat at Double Dogs in Hillsborough Village on Charlotte Avenue at 40th and Bowling Green.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, it's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Now, Forkless System Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tully Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Stroud's location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
We've been talking about the SEC West. Spring ball started most places in the Southeastern Conference. Well, around the country for that matter. Still, I think, a couple of teams left. Tony, let's look at the Southeastern Conference, Eastern Division. One thing to remember about the SECs, we always kind of look at them as, the younger brother, I guess would be a nice way to put it, of the West. However, last year, and this kind of caught me by surprise, the East finished 9-5 against the West. The year before, they were 3-11, so the East got better last year. I guess you might say that maybe the West wasn't quite as good, although I don't think that's correct. East getting better, and I think they're going to be better again this year as a whole. Not where the West is overall, but much, much, much closer.
Well, let's look at what happened last year. Obviously, Georgia had a big year with 11 wins. Florida had 10 wins. Kentucky had 10 wins. It was a really, really, really good year for that side. And yeah, those teams are getting better. You know, I don't see Kentucky winning 10 again. And I think Tennessee is going to be better. So yeah, there was a pretty good gap there for the last couple of years. But yeah, I think the SEC East is getting better. And oh, guess what? They're bringing in the coaches to do it, Doug. That's a big key.
Well, there's no doubt the last half dozen years, I would say, at least the last half dozen years. It really hasn't been close between the West and the East. That appears to be changing now. Couple of big reasons, Dan Mullen goes to Florida. We know what George is doing. Tennessee is looks like they've got the right guy there. That'll be proved out. South Carolina, Will Muschamp, has really done a good job there the last couple of years. What Coach Stoops has done up in Kentucky has been phenomenal, really, but they lose so very, very many players there. Plus, the rest of the division is going to get a little bit better. Let's start with Florida, though. Tony, I don't recall our exact conversation before last year, but I'll tell you what my thoughts were. I thought they would be maybe a 9-win team, probably an 8-win team, and maybe a 7-win team. Dan Mullen got 10 wins out of that group, and they played really – I thought they played better from start to finish from what was expected of them and with their talent, better than any other team in the league, and that includes Alabama, Georgia, again, from what the expectations were.
Exactly. Well, they only had one bad game last year. They lost 3 games. They lost to Kentucky at home. Kentucky was the night they played, Kentucky was a better football team. They ran the ball and closed it. Obviously, Georgia was a better team. The only game that had your head scratching when the year was over was Missouri went to the Swamp and beat them 38-17. Just dominated them. But
Missouri was not a very good football team. Let me ask you this. Tell me the thinking behind and playing. Of course, they're doing it this year. They've moved that Miami game early. Are they back to playing Miami? They play Florida State every year. Are they back to playing Miami every year now, or is this a one- or a two-game contract right now?
Right now, it's a home and home. I think they would like to do it more. And as I talk to more athletic directors in this league, I think more and more of them are going to have at least two home and homes on the schedule.
Well, I talked to one of them last night, and we visited about this last week. The interesting thing, that conversation that's going on, and I will say this, it's not really a conversation where everybody's involved, but other athletic directors talking and football coaches. There's no doubt you've brought this up. The November schedule in the Southeastern Conference is not one that fans can really jump all over, other than a couple of pretty key ball games. West, a little bit different. Tony, you and I mentioned this before. I can remember years where the Eastern Division was decided before November even got started,
right?
Because of the way the schedule broke down. That's changed. We know that Georgia now and the Auburn game has been moved. That means that the Georgia-Tennessee game will be moved. So there's some possibilities there. Folks, we talked a little bit about last week. There's going to be a change in the configuration in the next few years of the scheduling in the Southeastern Conference. Now, exactly what that will be has not been decided. We're pretty sure that it's not going to be a 9-game schedule. But in the 8-game schedule, the way it's going to be configured is going to be different than in all likelihood, it's going to be different than the 6-1-1, the 6 division games, the 1 permanent crossover, and then the rotating crossover. Tony, from what I've been told, that in all likelihood is going to change somewhat. But 9 games is not right now even being talked about.
No, and I've talked to enough people that, you know, they're saying we got to come up with something, but 9 games is not the way to go. There are too many hoops to jump through there. And Doug, this is all based on really 2 things. Number one, the ADs are hearing from their season ticket holders that they would like more variety on the football schedules. In other words, they don't want to wait. Well, Texas A&M comes to Georgia this year, first time. It'll be 10 years before Texas A&M comes back. The fans are saying, can't we come up with a scheduling formula where we can see some of these teams more often? That's number one. Number two is the television partners. Television partners have made it very clear that they would like to see the November schedule beefed up, and with some negotiations coming up on the horizon, that's something the SEC knows it has to do.
Beefed up schedule, more opportunities to do things in stadium experience that could involve a lot of different things, including, I believe, the sale of alcohol. I think we're much, much, much closer to that. Some places were already there in college football. All because of why? All because of exactly what Tony said. There is a concern. We know that a lot of folks are staying home because of TV and travel and all those other areas, so they're trying to find a way. How can we do that? Beefing up the schedule and making the in-stadium experience, both pre and during and post-game, more important. All right, Tony, thanks so much. I'm going to let you get out of here, and we're going to talk a little basketball and football going forward. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, Doug. Thanks.
Let's bring on our good buddy before we go to the top of the hour, Don King with a TWRA in Knoxville today. Bassmaster Classic, you talked about that. That's today, right, Don?
That is exactly right, Doug. Yeah, it is quite the experience. I tell you, it is I've heard it described as the Super Bowl of bass fishing or the national championship kind of. And man, it's lived up to everything I've heard about it. This is my first time to experience it, but I've met people from all over the Southeast, especially, and a few folks from out west that have traveled here for this. It's just pretty amazing. I was able to witness the takeoff yesterday morning about 7:45 Eastern time. So right about the time the sun's coming up, these guys are hitting the waters. And just to give you a visual, if you've ever been to Calhoun's on the river and that river access right down there, that's where it's all taking place. There were 5,500 people down there at that hour of the morning to send off their favorite anglers. And it was quite the experience. And they told us at the weigh-in yesterday that they broke their previous record for first day attendance at the takeoff. So that was pretty impressive. And then later in the afternoon, after they'd been out fishing for about 6 hours, We witnessed a weigh-in in Ott Defoe, Tennessean from Knoxville, is fishing his home waters, I guess, so to speak. And he's the leader at the moment. After day one, he weighed in with 20 pounds. That was very impressive. A lot of other folks had a little tougher day with the weather and everything, but he's on top of the leaderboard right now, and two more days to go. Sunday will wrap it up, but anyway, we're out here as an agency with a lot of stuff for the kids to do. We're frying up some Asian carp. I know that gets you going when you hear the word carp, so I might have to bring you a sample.
Please don't, but I appreciate the thought. My grandmother would roll over in her grave if she knew I was even thinking about partaking in carp. You know, to be honest, I've carp and gar were the two things back in Oklahoma that we kind of stayed away from. But hey,
right,
we stayed away from a lot of things. So, Doc, my friend, thanks so much. Folks, you can find out all about this and other things going on across this great state. Fishing, waterworks, everything, hunting at the tnwildlife.org. Don, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it.
Top of the hour break. Charles Davis, when we come back, Billy the Legend, the last three segments. We're here at Double Dogs opening up here. Well, let's open up right now, 10 o'clock. Get by here and see us at Hillsboro Village.
Walker Chevrolet in Franklin has done what they always do. Unbelievable pricing and financing options on the all-new Silverado. The all-new Silverado LT, starting at just $39,752 or 0% interest for 72 months. Walker Chevrolet also has the new Blazer in stock. You owe it to yourself to test drive a new 2019 Blazer. Walker Chevrolet has been doing business for over 90 years. Walker Chevrolet Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 and walkerchevrolet.com. 2019 Silverado stock number, KZ110941.
Fort Lift Systems Sports Saturday continues with Charles Davis, presented by attorney Burt McCarter, online at mcelaw.com.
Well, we got a new guy on the show. Maybe you've heard about him, Charles Davis. Actually, he hasn't been gone that long, but a lot of great work, by the way, Charles, at the Combine. And I want to kind of just start there. Tony and I were talking about this. A bunch of Kentucky and Mississippi State players at the Combine. That's certainly a little bit unusual. And they all, at least Mississippi State group, performed extremely well.
They did, Coach. They really did. And it's one of those things where I actually heard a couple of scouts talking, leaving the building one day, and one of them said, "Do you realize just how difficult that SEC is?" And the other one was like, "Yeah, I know. We talk about it all the time." She said, No. You're missing my point. You see the number of Mississippi State kids, this number of Kentucky kids, and neither one of them won their division. He said, "Think about that and what we're going to be evaluating." And I thought it was very interesting. Yeah, these dropping was very interesting about how they acknowledged it, because you know you're used to Bama, you're used to LSU. You know, right on down the line. Kentucky, Mississippi State, to have those number of kids and how they performed. I mean, Kentucky may very well have the number two pick in the entire draft in Josh Allen. Okay, that can happen. Number three probably feels like his bottom right now. And then you flip it over, Montez Sweat probably ran himself and tested himself. And I know people, that drives people crazy. But he was already a high consideration for a draft choice. But he may have elevated himself into the top 10, Coach. I mean, from Mississippi State. So you just go on and on. Jonathan Abram is probably the top safety in the draft, a Georgia transfer to Mississippi State. And one of my favorite corners didn't test, like, out the roof. But I just love what his potential is, and that's Lonnie Johnson, the corner from Kentucky. So I could go on and on about both of these schools, but it's a great point you brought up.
You know, you're looking at it, I thought, there's a lot of good, this league's been known for defense, but boy, you look around, defensive back, linebacker, really almost every defensive position, just loaded with Southeastern Conference players this year, and guys, as you mentioned, some we knew about, some we didn't know about, kind of easy to lose. One of the things, and Charles, you played the position and know this, and I coached it for so many years, defensive backs, it's very tough to go with statistics on that, because quite frankly, if you are a really good defensive back, they're not going to throw many balls your way. So you may get, you know, just because a guy has a lot of interception doesn't mean he's a really good player, and vice versa. And I think we saw that with some of the particularly cornerbacks that have coming out of this league this year.
Yeah, it's really true, Coach. And, you know, we can cite examples all along and even outside of the SEC to that point. Remember Mackenzie Alexander, the corner from Clemson a few years ago, went up to Minnesota, played for the Vikings. He came out and ended up as a second-round pick. And to your point about, you know, can't take a look at interception numbers or whatever, he had zero, I believe, in his college career and got his first interception in the NFL, and it was his first one since high school. And I only knew that because I remembered his time at Clemson. Didn't mean he didn't have ball skills. Sometimes they just avoid you. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. A lot of times we say, well, you would expect at least one or two to bounce his way. But Lonnie Johnson from Kentucky has a two-year career at Kentucky, had one interception. Does that mean that he's a guy that we should look at? Trayvon Mullen, a terrific corner from Clemson. Not many interceptions in his career. I think it's one or two somewhere in that neighborhood. But again, people just stayed away from him. They didn't throw in his area. They actually concentrated on other places. And we're going to have a kid that's being evaluated named Mark Fields from Clemson, Coach. Six college starts. Not forget interception, starts in college. And the NFL people asked for him to be at the combine because they like his speed and his talent. But six college starts is not supposed to get you invited to the combine. Yet it did. He tested well. We'll see how it all goes. He has good pedigree and bloodline. His dad was a first-round pick back in the late 80s. As a linebacker out of Washington State with New Orleans. So your point is well taken, Coach. You can have guys with ton of interceptions, may not be that player, but you have a lot of guys who don't have them that we still identify as top guys. In fact, look at the All-Pro and Pro Bowl listings this year for the NFL, and you'll see a number of great players with not very many interceptions on their record, but the players know that they're the best ones in their position.
Same thing goes for sacks and pass rushers. I was visiting with Jim Washburn, outstanding defensive line coach, outstanding coach, period, who happened to be a defensive line coach in the NFL, a little bit of college and a lot in the NFL, was here with the Titans for so many years. And he made the comment, I heard him say it on one of the shows here, the Wake Up Zone one day, too. He was talking about essentially what he was saying was those sack numbers are good, but what he's looking for are guys who hit the quarterback. The good quarterback's going to get rid of the ball. And he was talking about a guy that's coming here next year, Cameron Wake. But anyway, with that said, these scouts, and you have to do it in college too when you're recruiting, you got to look past stats because so many things go into stats. What's the score of the game? Are you playing for a good team? Are you playing against run teams or pass teams or whatever? Having said that, give me a thought or two on, I want to talk about Kyler Murray. He is fascinating to me because of the way that he plays. Everybody made such a big deal about his height. I don't know if it makes any difference if you're 5'9 and three quarters or 5'10 and a quarter. That wouldn't seem like it would. But tell us what you saw him. I know he didn't do a whole lot there, but you did have an opportunity to visit with him and do a few other things.
Yeah, Coach, I'm trying to boil it down to a nutshell because, as you said, fascinating is the right word. And he's fascinated not just the league but the general public. And I said it before the combine, I stick with it. If Kyler Murray had said, I'm going to go ahead and play baseball, the buzz level for this combine would have dropped precipitously, okay? Because no offense to the big guys, but they don't sell. You know, quarterbacks sell. People want to know what that intrigue is. And we would have had a combine and we would have been selling – you know, the big defensive ends and offensive linemen. And that just doesn't sell the same way. He creates sizzle. And the way he plays, obviously, we have to go back. Fran Tarkenton was our biggest outlier quarterback, wasn't he, Coach? All those years at 5'10", and he put up records that by the end of his time as an NFL player, he was the all-time leading passer in NFL history. But we still saw him as an outlier. And in recent years, Drew Brees has broken that barrier. Russell Wilson's broken that barrier. Baker Mayfield last year. So now people are way more willing to look at Kyler Murray much more for what he does on the field than actual tape measure. But still, there was a moment where you had to hold your breath. And when the word came back from his testing, from his measurement, and Coach, we don't show that on TV, I was waiting. We were all waiting. We all had our spies text me as soon as you get the number, 5'10 1/8" And I tweeted out, you know, take Twitter for what it's worth. I just tweeted out, Kyler Murray just won the combine. Now think about that, Coach, about where we are in all the years you've been in coaching, and you've seen kids come through college football where the height at quarterback wasn't nearly the factor it is in the NFL. But how many kids did you see play in college at like Kyler Murray's size, somewhere in that neighborhood, and were terrific players and automatically didn't get a shot at the NFL? They had to switch positions or change what they were. This kid, as soon as he measured 5'10 1/8" and I'm telling you, Coach, if he'd been in the 5'9", he would have been fine. I'm just telling you, anything 5'8", we'd still be having the discussion. But 5'10 1/8" feels like 6'3" nowadays. And now we just talk about how terrific he is because the kid makes most of his plays from the pocket, from what I've seen on tape, my scouting report. Most of his plays are still coming from the pocket, either off of play action, the RPO, and some of just, you know, being in the pocket off the straight drop out of gun. When he does decide to move, he moves with the intent to throw the ball first. But when he does decide to take off and go, that's a problem for everyone because while he didn't run the 40, I would estimate on tape he's a 4.4 guy. Okay? And a 4.4 guy is just beyond fast at the quarterback position. We all thought Vince Young was fast when he came out. Vince Young was closer to 4.7. He does big, long, loping strides, you know? I guess Russell Wilson we thought was super fast. He was probably in the high 4.5, low 4.6. So you just got to get the idea that fast is different with this Kyler Murray kid. And he is used to throwing at his height. And I'm going to say it for the last time, Coach. We all act like he was 6'4 and has to make this adjustment now to being 5'10 1/8". He's always been this height. So he's always experienced throwing between buildings, not over buildings. He's always done that. And by the way, that Oklahoma offensive line is going to have 4 guys drafted this year. That's a really good, big, strong, physical offensive line. And I'm just going to put on record, again, one person's opinion, Coach. One of the more physical offensive lines Oklahoma's had in the last 10 years and maybe more. Because when I was doing a lot of college games, Coach, 3rd and 1 and 2 was not a running down for Oklahoma. It was a throwing down. They were much more stand up, you know, deal with the line of scrimmage, protect, than knock you off the ball. This group, they didn't mind knocking you off the ball. So this kid got used to that type of an offensive line. He was used to being behind big trees. I don't worry about that nearly as much as I would have with other people. I think he will be evaluated and could very well be the number one pick in the entire draft. Now that he's reached 5'10 1/8", he's now Paul Bunyan.
Interesting. Charles, I'm assuming this. I know what happens sometimes when you assume, but NFL draft coming to Nashville, a big deal for our city. Tell us maybe some things that we can expect that maybe we wouldn't think about expecting. I am assuming you're coming with the NFL Network, but you'll correct me if I'm wrong. But tell me about the draft coming here, what fans can expect and look forward to.
Yeah, I'm very much planning on coming, Coach, unless they tell me differently. And right now it appears I'm coming. I'm real excited about it. But here's the thing. Everyone sees the Thursday night, kind of what I call the Oscars night, you know, red carpet treatment, potential first round picks, all parading in with their families, friends, sweethearts, wives, whatever, you know, and they've turned it into a big production and a big deal there. And then that one night standalone only has gotten a pretty nice response on Thursday night, Friday rounds 2 and 3, Saturday rounds 4 through 7. Okay. So everybody kind of knows about those. They're being televised, the whole deal. We got all that. These kids will get there early, and there will be, I'm going to say, upwards of 30 kids somewhere in the neighborhood, maybe even more, because they like to have kids there for the first round, and they also like to have kids walk across the stage in rounds 2 and 3. So they will put together a great list, the NFL does, and these kids will come in early and will be in the city. And they will probably be involved in different events, Coach, around the city. You know, the NFL Play 60 deal, they'll be going to probably different schools, you know, maybe hospitals, all those sorts of things. So you'll see these potential draft choices all over Nashville, soaking in the Nashville flavor and infusing it with NFL flavor as well. And, you know, there's plenty of natural landmarks in Nashville for them to take advantage of with photo ops, as well as actual interaction with people in Nashville, different groups, different things. So a lot of that goes on as well. And then the city of Nashville, which knows how to put on a party, which knows how to welcome people in so many different ways,
I will guarantee you everyone is ramping up to have their own sort of welcome deal, and they will welcome different aspects of the NFL in. There's a chance I'll be lucky enough to do a few things along the way as well. I'm hoping that that comes to fruition. It'll be all of those things. And remember, all 32 teams in the league will be represented in some form or another, although obviously the GM, the head coach, and everyone else will be back in their city in their draft rooms conducting the draft. But everyone sends representatives, whether it's former players, broadcasters, you name it, and everyone will be all around. So if you're a fan of anything, if you live in Nashville, you'll probably have a chance to touch your team or see your team involved in some form or another. But let's just be frank about the whole thing. This is a great show for the Titans. It's a great show for the city of Nashville. And I know the NFL is excited about going there because, let's be honest, you know, let's go back to when they unveiled the uniforms, Coach. You remember that. The Titans uniform unveiling was a massive deal, and the NFL took notice, and I think that helped bump Nashville up in the pecking order on when to hold the draft. So I know everyone's really geeked up about getting to the Music City.
Interesting. I've been told expecting 300,000 people the city is. And Charles, as you know, the Matthews Bed and Breakfast is open if you need it.
I appreciate that very much, Coach.
The breakfast ain't great. The breakfast ain't great, but the bed's pretty soft.
Hey, listen, I'll take you because if you ever had any breakfast I cooked, you know better than to partake in that. So real quick as I go, Coach, Brentwood High School, congratulations on a heck of a run. I know this is much more in Tate's wheelhouse, but tell Tate hello for me. Coach Greg Shirley, I think people have heard me talk about before. We have a relationship back to here in Orlando when he was coaching in this area. So happy for him and his Bruins. I hate the fact that they lost in the semis. But once the hurt heals and they realize what a year they had, another marvelous year, second time in 3 years they've been to the Elite Eight, which is like the Final Four everywhere else. Fantastic accomplishment for those Bruins. And I continue to support my great friend Greg Shirley and his program's accomplishments, I should say.
I know he appreciates it, both Brentwood and Franklin, in the state tournament this year from Williamson County. Charles, we will talk to you next week.
I look forward to it, Coach. You take care of yourself. Talk to you soon. And by the way, Vanderbilt showed out pretty well at the combine as well. So congratulations to them. I continue to miss David Williams. You know, he was such a trailblazer, and he actually achieved the goal that I had set when I was in school to be the first black athletic director in the SEC. He achieved that. I was able to communicate with him about a month before he passed, first time ever. And what a class man he was. Take care, Coach.
Charles, thanks so much. Charles Davis, of course, does an excellent job with the NFL Network, really tied into a lot of different things. I am fortunate to have him here on the show. Bill Justice will be up next. Let's talk a little bit about Mandu, M-A-N-D-U-U, groundbreaking fitness solution it uses electrical muscle stimulation to really deliver an incredible, effective exercise regimen. I've been doing it now for about 6 or 7 months. It's been great for me. In just 15 minutes of workout, and that 15 minutes workout includes a 2-minute break. So it's really a 13-minute workout. Here's what I can tell you. It works great for me. One 15-minute Mandu workout gives me a better strength workout than 3 to 4 hours that I was spending each week lifting weights. Now, it doesn't take the place of aerobic. Still got to do that. But from a strength perspective, no strain or stress on your joints. And again, my experience has been outstanding. I recommend that you at least try it. Mandu has given you an opportunity, the first appointment completely free. If you decide to do it, if you mention that you heard it on the show or ask for we're still calling it the college football playoff special, you get $300 off a 15-session package. I would try it. I love it. It's been great for me. Muscle gain, fat loss, visceral fat loss around the major organs, all pluses for health in the future. Check them out at M-A-N-D-U-U. That's Mandu.com.
I love my community. And as a doting dad.
Daddy's home.
A devoted son.
There you are, Joe.
And a good neighbor.
Hey, man.
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it.
A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
At Double Dogs, you may come for the game, but you'll stay for the food. Your favorite sports bar is also the perfect place for lunch, dinner, or a post-game snack. Enjoy Hebrew National Chili Dog, Barbecue Bacon Cheeseburger, Crispy Homemade Onion Rings, Dog Bowl Nachos, and much, much more. Double Dogs has something for everyone, including the kids. So whether you're coming for 9 innings, 4 quarters, or 3 periods, bring your appetite. Sit, stay, eat at Double Dogs in Hillsborough Village on Charlotte Avenue at 40th and Bowling Green.
Walker Chevrolet in Franklin has done what they always do. Unbelievable pricing and financing options on the all-new Silverado. The all-new Silverado LT starting at just $39,752 or 0% interest for 72 months. Walker Chevrolet also has the new Blazer in stock. You owe it to yourself to test drive a new 2019 Blazer. Walker Chevrolet has been doing business for over 90 years. Walker Chevrolet Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 and WalkerChevrolet.com. 2019 Silverado stock number, KZ110941.
Now, Fort Lift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville, online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
Well, the show is back in town. Had a little absence last week. I think I believe I'm correct on this. 4 out of 5 years, the SEC contract calls for the SEC tournament, basketball tournament, to be in Nashville. They move it around, I think, last year in St. Louis, moving it around to other areas. But again, 80% of the time right here. Bill, it's not an accident. This is a great venue. And I don't know, you've been to a bunch of these, so have I. I forget how many exactly we've had here. But because of what Kentucky has always done and what Tennessee has done this year, I can't remember a bigger crowds or more excitement that we've seen these first few days leading into the semifinals today. Let's go ahead and bring Bill up there, Ryan.
Are we good?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Anyway, today at Bridgestone, Tennessee and Kentucky playing the game this afternoon, the second game. And certainly I noticed even on the very first day when it was open seating, and, you know, the last four teams are fighting just to get in the tournament, still a tremendous number of Kentucky Blue in that fan base. So they just love basketball, and they're always going to turn out for this. There will be a majority of fans in that arena today wearing blue.
I was there last night, saw a little bit of the Kentucky game, of course, all the Tennessee game, and a big crowd. Of course, Kentucky always follows. We know that. And a good number of them stayed around for the next game also. Bill, let's talk about kind of what's gone on so far. LSU losing, you know, with what's going on down there, that is a tough situation. You know, you hope and you expect your players to play. But that's a difficult situation. Florida played well, by the way. And Florida, as you said all year long, a very good basketball team. Let's talk about the matchups. Florida, Auburn, two teams that like to get up and down the court. The more you watch Auburn, I've heard you talk about them. I watched them yesterday. Five guys that seemingly all are sprinters, get up and down the court, seemingly all can shoot threes. Tough defenders. If you're not playing at a pretty high level, not going to beat Auburn. Let's talk about that game first.
Well, I've liked Auburn all year long. I like the way Coach Bruce Pearl's teams play. They force you to get back on defense. They're going to shoot threes if they're, you know, they may go 30, 35 three-point attempts during a game. They live on that, but they make a good percentage. They shoot 38%. This is a talented team. And I think they're one of the teams that's going to have a good chance to go far in the NCAA tournament. Certainly they're in that. We can talk a little bit about who we think is going to make it out of the SEC. Florida has come on late in the year. I think they have secured their spot in the tournament, too, by this make here into the semifinals. But I think they'll have a tough time with Auburn today. If Auburn makes threes, it's going to be tough for Florida to outscore them.
And another thing with Auburn, I don't know how this plays into it to one particular game, but certainly over a stretch of games, they play 9 or 10 players. I think they're the only team in the conference that really plays that many significant minutes.
10 players with double minutes, and there is nobody else that does that. Usually it's 8, sometimes 9. Kentucky plays 9. Tennessee only has 8. Florida has only 8. But Auburn does play 10 players.
You know, you mentioned Bruce Pearl. One of the things that I love to watch is, you know, we talk about this. I like to watch coaches in all sports, how they work. And, boy, you talk about a difference in seeing Coach Pearl. I don't know that he ever sets down. I know that he never, and I mean this in a positive way, he never quits talking. You look at Rick Barnes, and I watched him last night. He rarely, if he gets up, it's maybe to call a defense or an offense or just say a mild comment. It's never more than mild with him, seemingly, to an official. Two completely different type coaches. You put Coach Cal in there, he's kind of in between. You know, he can do both. Get what needs to be fired up, can, needs to talk to the officials, can, sets on the bench a good bit. Coaching styles always are intriguing to me, and the best guys, they coach their personalities, and from what I know, you know them much better. That's Bruce Pearl's personality, and that's also Rick Barnes' personality, and I'm guessing that's probably Coach Cal's personality.
Well, I got to know Coach Pearl very well when he was at Tennessee. Still see him every year at the coaches' clinic down in Alabama, and that is his personality, and it is also John Calipari's. These are guys that are very talkative, and Rick Barnes is a little more reserved. I have long thought that the best two coaches would be Dabo Swinney and John Calipari at one school, and I don't know how they'd ever get the microphone away from either one of them.
Well, they got a couple of other things in common, too. They recruit high talent, and they win a lot of games in their respective professions on that. Let's break away from the SEC just a little bit. I know you and I talked this morning about the game. I didn't get an opportunity to watch it for obvious reasons, but, boy, Duke, North Carolina, we should, I guess, expect, if you go back and look at the history of that rivalry, at one point I think it was – tied, the same team won, both teams had won the same amount. The points scored was almost identical, and we saw another barn burner great game last night.
Yeah, I was kind of torn between watching both of those with the, you know, late games that they were, but Duke at the buzzer, 74-73, and again, Zion with unbelievable numbers, 31 points, 11 rebounds, and with 20 seconds left, he hit the winning basket. So, and then we had an upset on the other side of the bracket, Florida State takes out Virginia. Many people had UVA ranked number one in the country. They're a slower team. They play a slower method of basketball. They only scored 59 last night. So it will be Florida State meeting Duke in the championship for the title this evening for the ACC. So they're in their finals. The SEC, of course, is semifinals, as is the Big Ten. The Big 12 will have their final today with Iowa State and Kansas. First time in 15 years, I think, that Kansas did not win the title. Kansas State won it, but they got knocked out. So Big 12 will finish their season today as well.
I think you see what tournament basketball is all about. ACC, SEC, Big 12, for sure, the number one seed out before the semifinal round gets here. So, that kind of shows you, and I know how some teams maybe approach it, but it just goes to show you the number of quality teams that if they play well and the other team, maybe a better team, doesn't play quite as well, you can get knocked off pretty easy.
You know, that's exactly what happens in the conference tournaments. And then you see a little bit of a little roundabout once you get into the NCAA tournament with the, you know, for the play-in game. So you have a 68 draw down to 64, and it's played over, you know, several weekends, and when you look at it, there's not many outliers that come in and win a national championship. You may get people in the upper seedings that make it in, you know, to the final 16, maybe to the final 8, but when you look at the end results, you're usually looking at the elite programs, or the programs that for this season, this particular year, have been elite playing in those final games.
We'll come back and talk with Bill again about the national picture. In particular, I want to talk about Villanova, two-time national champion. down a little this year, but boy, last half of the year playing well. I don't think a big surprise with the coaching job that they do up there. We'll talk with Bill about that when we come back. Are you looking for a car dealership that tells you right up front that their dealership is all about catering to people who don't like dealerships? That's what Larry Thorne and the folks at Global Motorsports say. They're a dealership for folks who just don't like dealerships. Now, why do they say that? They say that because they take all of the wasted time out of looking for, shopping for, talking about, and working out a deal on an automobile. If you're looking for a late model luxury import automobile, this is the place to go. You can drive one car, 10 cars, all of the cars on the lot. You can drive them by yourself. When you walk in, the people that you visit with, the person that you meet with is going to be the person that you end up doing all of your deals with. You can count on not having any back and forth with managers or waiting around for a finance manager. Come in. Once you decide the automobile that you want, about 20 minutes later, you're going to be walking out with the keys to it. Online at globalmotorsportsinc.com. They've got three different locations. The newest one down in Franklin. Also have a service department down there. Cool Springs and over in Belmead. Online at globalmotorsportsinc.com.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
We both know a little bit about the X's and O's of football.
But when it came to understanding the gaps not covered by Medicare, we turned to our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans.
They can coach you through the ABCs of Medicare.
Did you know Medicare doesn't cover everything?
You still have to pay coinsurance and deductibles, and Medicare doesn't cover prescription drugs, dental, or vision.
And that's why you've always got the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans.
To find out more and how to enroll, just go to Farm Bureau Health Plans at fbhealthplans.com.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo! Yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville, online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
Are you in need, if you're a man, are you in need of some good men's clothing? Well, let me tell you where I shop. McPherson's Menswear, that's the men's store where I shop. I can get out of my car, walk about one or two first and tens, that's 10 or 20 yards for you basketball folks. And I'm there. Convenient. Men's clothing and accessories for men who want to look good, that's McPherson. Stop by and see them. 5920 Charlotte Pike. That's two blocks west of Whitebridge Road. They're open from 9 to 6 today, Monday through Saturday. As a matter of fact, you can also check them out online at McPherson'sClothing.com. Bill, Gonzaga gets knocked off. Let's talk first about, though, because this was always interesting to me. Getting beat in a conference tournament, really, obviously you want to win it, but the number of games that you have to play to win it, and then you go right into the tournament a little bit later. Thinking about that, Gonzaga gets knocked off, Virginia gets knocked off, expected to be number one seed. We'll see where that ends up. Not always a bad thing, though, if you're one of the top seeds for that to happen to. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, you know, in Gonzaga's case, the thing that does, you know, they lose to St. Mary's. So now St. Mary's, who had no chance to get into the tournament, takes up one of those spots. So you're at large teams from other major conferences, you know, there's one less spot for you to get into. So certainly, if I'm somebody down in the last, you know, 20 or 30 teams to get picked, I would have been rooting hard for Gonzaga. I would not have been wanting, you know, they beat them by like 58 points earlier in the year. So that's a monumental upset at the number one position there.
Over the years, though, that's been a big rivalry out there, hasn't it? Those have been the two teams that are not affiliated with the Pac-12 that normally play very well.
Well, Gonzaga always does. The problem that they have had, I think, in terms of reputation, they've got great players, and they've been in the tournament every year, and they do. Mark Hughes done a great job there. The argument has always been, what is their strength of schedule? You know, they lost to Tennessee. They lost to North Carolina. You know, these are the teams that have got a reputation this year. So, you know, if you look at their schedule, and I have not looked at it closely, but you'd have to say that it's probably strength of schedule that is not going to match up with teams in the ACC or the SEC or the Big Ten.
I'm going off Joe Lunardi here, who, from my limited knowledge, is the guy outside of the committee that probably knows more about what's going on.
Very, very, very good. Love to read his stuff.
Kind of looking at it, the Southeastern Conference, probably three teams in the first two rounds in some order, you would think, or first two seeds, excuse me.
Oh, I think so, no doubt. And I think that, you know, with what's happened and transpired in the SEC tournament, it's a little more clear now on who gets in. I think Florida probably was on maybe on the bubble before, but now they're certainly in, getting into the semifinals. So, you know, Tennessee, Kentucky, LSU, Auburn, South Carolina, Ole Miss probably, maybe Mississippi State, Florida's now in. So looks like we could come back and get eight again.
Kentucky seems to be penciled in right now. Bill, is it as simple as whoever wins this game today? Both of them relatively close in the way they played. Of course, they split home and home and really pretty significant, not easy wins, but big double-digit wins.
Double-digit, yeah.
Winner here, maybe an inside track, or is Kentucky kind of maybe have the inside track no matter what there?
You're talking about for a high seed?
For the number one seed.
Yeah, you know, Kentucky, I think, and we said this real early, that they would be getting better as the season went along, and I think we've seen that. They have everything that it takes. They've got a more experienced team now, led by Reed Travis, and he does an excellent job as a leader. That's what the main thing he brings. They have their normal group of freshmen. They've got incredible size. You know, they got 6'7" guys that are 6'5", 6'6", or better, including a couple of 6'8", and a 6'10", and a 6'11". Seem to have it all. This is a team that is peaking, I think, at the right time. Tennessee, Kentucky, for the third time, the rubber match here should be just an outstanding game. I'm not downplaying Tennessee's chances at all because I think they have a great chance. If their guards play and they can hit perimeter shots, Bone, Bowden, and Turner, if those three guys can make the Kentucky defense stretch out and not sit back in on Williams and Schofield, they've got a great chance. Kyle Alexander has got to stay out of foul trouble. They need to get significant minutes out of him, and if he can play like he did yesterday, which is, I think, probably as good a game as he's ever had with Tennessee, then it's going to be a good close game, good battle.
Bill, kind of talking about that, would it be fair to say, and I listened to what the Kentucky people that follow Kentucky, and I'm talking about analysts and coaches and also Tennessee, Tennessee, a pretty significant edge in experience players. Kentucky, more length, a little bit more size inside, and I don't know if you would say talent is that much better, but certainly Kentucky, an extremely talented team.
No question about it. If you look at their roster and you look at Tennessee's roster, you're seeing on Kentucky's team, and granted, they're young, but you're seeing five or six guys that are going to play professional basketball in the NBA, not just in the, you know, a league outside of that. They won't have to go overseas. They won't have to be in a development league. You're looking, just as he does every year, John Calipari recruits the best of the best, and these guys are guys that can perform. Tennessee has got a much more experienced team. They've got a team that plays very well together. They've got enough depth to be able to play a good basketball game, and both of these teams are blessed not have to have played games going in. I think the people that play those first couple of days, the time it gets to today and certainly tomorrow, they've ground down pretty good, because in Auburn's case, for example, they've had to play games not even 24 hours apart. Just step right back in 18 hours later and play another basketball game.
Let's talk about Kentucky and Tennessee again, looking at it. I think you game up there. I want to start with this. Both teams right now appear to be at full strength. You always have a few little nicks and knacks, but certainly Kentucky, one of their better players, did not play in Knoxville. I know Jordan Bone was somewhat under the weather health-wise at Kentucky, but now both these teams at full strength. Talk about that. And then I also want you to talk about how the importance of having one game in this arena. You have said before, in non-basketball gymnasiums or arenas in college where the depth perception is different, that sometimes takes a little bit getting used to. I think we saw that yesterday in the game's first half. Appear to be more missed shots than in the second half on almost every game. But talk about the importance that both these teams now have played in this arena. They certainly know each other, how they're going to play.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they know the characteristics of each other. The two coaches here, Rick Barnes and John Calipari, very close friends with high feelings for each other and much respect for each other. These are two of the most outstanding coaches and personalities in all of college basketball. So there's a mutual respect here between these two men and these two programs. I mean, in its history, Tennessee has more wins against Kentucky than anybody else. Now, they're still well behind. Kentucky is certainly in the top three, four, five schools in basketball history, going back to the time the game was invented. They're a great basketball school. So this is a great rivalry, and I look for this one to be a good close game today. If Tennessee can shoot the ball well, it's going to be very competitive.
Had a friend of mine who was a basketball coach in this league, and I just asked him about the two coaches, and he said, you know what, probably in a nutshell, this would, I think, the way I'd explain it. Rick Barnes, known as a really good defensive coach, a much better offensive-minded coach than people think, and on the other side, the same thing you said about Calipari. Calipari gets labeled as a recruiter, which he is, and an offensive guy, but he coaches outstanding defense, too. Fair assessment?
Yes, and you know, you just mentioned something, and as a coach, you'll respect this. One of the things that Coach Calipari does, can you imagine? He goes out, and he's already got commitments. I've been reading for him for next year that he's got kids coming in of five-star players. He recruits the best players in all the high school basketball programs. These guys have been stars since they were 12 years old. He brings them in, and he is able to assemble a team that is willing to have other guys be the star. They're fill-in players. They're great fill-in players, and they have a future in basketball. But where they used to be the lead guy, they no longer are. That is tough management, and you know that from, you know, what do you do if you bring in, you know, three or four or five-star quarterbacks or running backs or wide receivers, and they don't get to play as many minutes as they want to? That's tough to manage.
Well, I think one of the impressive things that he has done, quite honestly, is that he convinces somehow players that normally at most programs would be playing 30 minutes a game, maybe more, to play 19, 20, 21. But, of course, there's that other side of it, too. There's some pretty good rewards at the end of it if you come in there and play and play like you can play. A quick break. We'll be one more segment with Bill Justice when we come back. Stover's Liquidation, they are a liquidation company. Their name really says it all, right out in Antioch. If you're looking to get great prices on big box store returns, quality products, this is the place to check out. Check out their liquidation treasure hunt. It's Stover's Liquidation Treasure Hunt. They buy chain store returns for next to nothing, and then every Thursday night after Thursday's close, they load up all of the bins. Friday and Saturday, you can buy any item in there for $5. And then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, through the next Thursday, the price decreases where whatever's left the next Thursday, 25 cents per item. That's in addition to the other great deals that they have, 40 to 50% off, the lowest prices at big box stores. Out in Antioch, they're also in Cookeville, they're also in Knoxville and Bristol, Tennessee. You can find them online at StoversLiquidation.com.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or Mid-10FordTrucks.com. That's Mid-10FordTrucks.com.
Wilson Bank and Trust, your Middle Tennessee community bank, and the key word there is community. This is a community bank. There are nine Middle Tennessee counties now: Wilson, Davidson, DeKalb, Putnam, Rutherford, Smith, Sumner, Trousdale, and the newest one down in Williamson County. That's where I bank. If you're looking for a place who and a banker who can work with you from a community aspect, that is Wilson Bank and Trust. They're really very much committed to athletic scholarships in all their locations. They have 28 offices in those nine counties. They can help you. They want to work with you. They are a part of the community, been around over 30-plus years now, an outstanding company, outstanding organization. Check them out. Stop by and see any of their locations. That's Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank.
Now, Fort Lift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville, online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
Pardon me, Ryan, for jumping the gun on you there. Kirby distracted me down here, so it's the Ohio State. And by the way, how's that Ohio State basketball team doing, Kirby? All right, Bill Justice on with us, and we're taking a look at, we're in tournament play now, Southeastern Conference semifinals today. First game at 12 o'clock, Auburn, Florida, and then right around 2:30, I think, what is it, Bill, 25 minutes after the game ends.
That's correct.
Could be, could be overtime, could be a lot of different things. Probably going to be somewhere around 2:30. We talked about Kentucky and Tennessee, know what we're going to get there in all likelihood. Let's talk about the first game, Florida-Auburn. Tony, both these teams, you mentioned Florida really coming on late. Auburn, a good team early, maybe didn't play quite up to where they maybe thought Coach Pearl thought they should be playing, but really playing well now. And both these teams, dangerous teams, and wouldn't be a surprise if either won this baby.
No, I think Auburn's probably playing at their best right now. Florida, a little bit of a surprise to get here, simply because they knocked off number one LSU, and that was a little bit of a upside down thing at LSU, the situation that they've had. But still, Florida had to win the game over a very talented team. They did. They find themselves now playing Auburn. If you look at the Final Four here in the SEC, you see some things that stand out. Tennessee, Auburn, and Kentucky, statistics-wise, all have some good spreads. Double-digit points per game over their opponents, double-digit better field goals, better free throw shooters, a good plus number, especially for Kentucky on rebounds. So when you look at the numbers that count, you can see why UT, Auburn, and Kentucky are three of the best teams in the Southeastern Conference. They just have good performance.
Bill, and they're three of the better defensive teams, aren't they? I mean, Auburn in particular, they play a really pressing, hard-nosed man-to-man defense. But all three of these teams kind of similar in that.
All four of them. If you look at that, I can tell you what the defenses do. Kentucky gives up 65. They have 77. They have a 12-point differential. Tennessee's is 82-67, so it's 15 points. Florida's is close. Good defense, 64, but they only get 68. And Auburn at 80-68. So those are those numbers I was talking about. No, none of those teams allow 70 points on the average.
The as you look at not only the Southeastern Conference, but as we get ready to go into the tournament, again, I'm going back to Joe Lenardi. He has seven Southeastern Conference teams in right now, and included in that are the teams that are playing in the semifinals. So it looks like pretty much baked in right now, seven Southeastern Conference teams.
I think so, for sure, and maybe a chance for an eighth. It depends. Sometimes, you know, it depends on what happens in other conferences and how those teams play out. If you have favorites that lose, you know, like we were talking about with Gonzaga, and it lets somebody in that wouldn't have made it, it takes a spot away from somebody who's hoping to get in. So, you know, all of this plays out. Now you have a chance to play your way in if you're in your finals or your semifinals, and the ones that have been beaten that are highly ranked, they're still going to get in, but it's cost them a little bit in where their seating is.
Bill, we will talk all about this game tomorrow on Big Orange Sunday. Bill will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning, Big Orange Sunday. Be looking at the game today, and we expect it to be another great game in this great rivalry. Thanks so much, buddy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Here's hoping we're happy tomorrow morning, Coach.
I'm with you. All right, as you know, we're here in Double Dogs Well, starting Wednesday, Double Dogs on 104.5 The Zone, a big part of the Southeastern Conference. Why? Because they're in many of the Southeastern Conference cities. Louisville's not a Southeastern Conference city, but I think there's probably a few Kentucky fans there. Lexington, Bowling Green, up in Knoxville, and, of course, the two locations here. Big John joins us, a fixture down here. Keeps me going in coffee. John, have I missed the city there somewhere that's a Southeastern Conference city? You guys are expanding so much, I can't keep up with you.
I think you covered them all, Coach. It's always a pleasure being with you. And, no, we're just love this time of year, of course. It's an SEC sort of company. Even in Louisville, they've got a few of those Cats fans up there. I think everybody knows that. But, you know, down here in Nashville right now, it's awful blue downtown, but you go over to Knoxville, and it's a whole different story. There, those two stores, Ken out there in Hardin Valley, he's ready to go, and of course John on Kingston Pike, they're locked and ready to go.
If you're here and you don't have $400, you're probably not going to the game unless you already had a ticket. But great opportunities right here in Hillsborough Village and also out in Charlotte. But 30 plus TVs in all locations. I'm guessing you're probably going to have the two games on today, just a guess.
Yeah, that's a good guess, Coach. But, yeah, we can save you about $360 if you really want to just come to Double Dogs and hang out. And, you know, you might like your Cats, you might like your Vols, but, you know, we all love the Dogs. So the patios are open now, doors are open. It's a beautiful day, so come on down and enjoy yourself.
Let's talk a little bit. I've got to know a lot about this company for a lot of different reasons. But Double Dogs, when I first heard of Double Dogs, I assumed it was hot dogs. Not. Although you do have hot dogs, but it's really about dogs.
It really is. You know, Dan and the whole entire company, we just, you know, who doesn't love dogs? And you can have a sports fan is short for fanatic. We all know that. But everybody loves the dogs. So we just want to all come together and enjoy ourselves. And both sides of the game, everybody can root. And then at the end of the day, have a nice time and something to eat and something cold. Obviously.
David Reed, who is the producer on one of the shows at the Midday 180, on the Zone, was telling me yesterday he walks down here with his dog and his wife. They sit out on the patio here, provide a little beverage for the dog, I know, there, and have a great meal out here. In the you open today. Now, normally, you open today at 9 o'clock. Normally, you open up when?
Normally at 11 o'clock, but whenever you're here, we make sure everybody's ready to go.
And we got a good group down here. So, again, if you're looking for, if you're at the game, great. You can come down here other times. If you're in town, from Bowling Green or Louisville or Lexington or Knoxville, remember, great location to watch any an all-sporting event. You also have the opportunity here if you can call your server over or someone there and say, hey, I'd like, can you flip it over to a so-and-so game and watch that? Motocross, whatever you want to do.
Well, sure. I mean, if you want to watch the players, let's say, you might have to go to the restrooms to watch that today, I think. But, if you know, the Players' Championship. But
Come
of course,
the golf tournament.
Yeah, any basketball, any sporting event, we have everything. And, of course, I got to give me a little plug here. Got to say, go Hilltoppers. They play a little later on today, so I got to get home at one point, so I need to put that in there.
Bowling green, very important in a lot of different ways for Double Dogs.
Well, it's the mothership. It's where we're all out of, but we, you know, we just love Bowling Green itself, and it's been very good to the company. It's where we started, and the first Double Dogs was put in there, and then we came down to Nashville, of course.
You know, the great thing about Western Kentucky, there's a lot of people who are SEC fans, Kentucky, Tennessee, whatever, Louisville, not SEC, but a big program up there, football and basketball. Also, they're Western Kentucky fans.
Western Kentucky is the school that we all like. Everybody can get along and like Western. So that's a nice common denominator within the company, of course.
That's a good way of putting it. Hey, buddy. Thanks so much for having us. Thanks for being a tremendous host, not only here but up in Bowling Green. And you've taken care of my family up there extremely well, and we appreciate it.
Oh, you have a great family, by the way, Coach, and it's a great partnership, and we look forward to the future. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you a little bit later. All right, before we get out of here, let's bring on our old buddy Hunter McCarty with R.J. Young, your document solutions company. Hunter, you got any basketball advice for us today?
Well, not much, I don't think, but there have been some surprises along the way the last few days, too. So.
There have been a little bit, haven't you? You've been able to get any games yet?
No, actually, I was coming back in last night and actually saw the games on the television as I got in, and I was on an airplane flight, so I caught the interesting game with Virginia, losing that game to FSU. So.
Let's talk a little bit. You've over the years, folks, and I've been doing something with R.J. Young for many, 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 many of those years. I've been Company Matthews Team Sports has been a part using R.J. Young for over 25 years. Let's talk a little bit about that. You've heard me talk about the We Make It Right guarantee. Hunter, let's talk just a little bit exactly what does that mean. Sounds good. What does that mean?
Well, what happened, Doug, when we came with this guarantee many over 20 years ago. It was really a guarantee to offset some other people who had guarantees and warranties that covered like the equipment. But when we sat down to discuss what we wanted to do for the customer, we said, you know, a true guarantee should cover everything that you and every way you touch a customer. So we made our guarantee basically a guarantee to replace the equipment if found effective, of course, but we also wanted to cover supplies and service, billing, and anything that we did with the customer interaction. So we wrote the guarantee up to include all those items. It was signed by the president of the company at that time, John Clark, and now it's signed by Chip Clark. And really what it is, it's just a guarantee that gives any customer a peace of mind that we're going to take care of you in any way we can. If you find something that you don't feel like is the way it was presented or the way you feel like it should be operating, let us know. Give us a chance to correct it. And if we can't, then we'll give you your money back or we'll get you out of your contract.
As with most of the sponsors of this show, advertisers on this show, R.J. Young was one that I specifically went to ask because I'd worked with them. And I know what the quality company that they are, not only in product, but as importantly, at least to me, when I was a business owner, the service, making sure things were done right, the billing and all of that. Hunter, thanks so much for everything you do, but for being part of the show. And we will talk to you next week.
Thank you, Doug, and we appreciate it.
R.J. Young, again, at rjyoung.com. All right, got about 40 seconds left here. Big Orange Sunday tomorrow. Bill Justice will be with us, 8 to 9. We'll be talking about spring practice. Tennessee's had 5 spring practices. Also going to be talking about tomorrow, Tennessee coming, Coach Pruitt bringing his staff over here in April for a Middle Tennessee coaching clinic. Actually, you can come in from out Middle Tennessee. We expect probably 400 or so coaches there. We'll talk about that tomorrow on Big Orange Sunday, and we'll be talking about a lot more, of course, things going on up in Knoxville a lot of different things, particularly the basketball team with Bill. Thanks for being part of the show. Thanks for Kirby for being out here running everything. Ryan Albanese back in the studio. Most importantly, you for being part of the show, and we'll see you next Saturday on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday.